If you've ever had a conversation with somebody who's a charismatic or a Roman Catholic or somebody who's in Eastern Orthodoxy, over and again, when you talk about sola scriptura, you might get a rebuke. You might get a rebuke to the effect of sola scriptura is a man-made doctrine. This is what they claim.
Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith talking about his presentation at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And so I always like to take a challenge like that. And so what I'm going to be doing at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference is I'm going to be using scripture alone to demonstrate the concept of sola scriptura, that it is the only authority that we can look to.
You can meet and hear Chris Roseborough making the case for scripture alone at this year's Making the Case Conference. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, June 24th and Saturday, June 25th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
It is written by Alito, who's a very clear and engaging writer. And it's masterful. I mean, it seems like maybe he's been writing it for years, if not decades.
I think that you would be a complete and total fool for seeing Moss as a champion for any particular set of values that you think is going to restore America to whatever status of ordered liberty and cultural health that you think we should have.
Our justification must come from outside us. It must come from the highest and most definitive authority, Jesus Christ.
What is Lutheranism? Lutheranism is the Church Catholic purged of those medieval errors that did arise in the Church in many ways, but did not destroy the Church by any means.
Air Force officers on their morning walk enjoy Issues, etc.
The idea of vision, well, it's not unknown in Scripture. There is prophetic vision in the Old Testament. The apostles occasionally have a vision. Peter has a very famous vision, and so does Paul. He has several famous visions. When we hear that word in evangelical circles, does it mean the same thing as those things that we read about in the Bible, or does it mean something not only a little different, but maybe entirely different? When we hear people like Paula White saying that we ought to be pregnant with vision, what is she really talking about? Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc., live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. Today we're going to talk about televangelist Paula White's teaching on being pregnant with vision. Pastor Chris Roseborough joins us. He's pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
How big is vision in pop Christianity?
Dare I say it, I think that this concept of vision is practically become the central doctrine of light charismatic evangelicalism to NAR evangelicalism. It is like the core part of their narrative of what Christianity is apparently all about.
She really needs no introduction, but tell us, who is Paula White?
Paula White is a very well-known charismatic televangelist. She was the spiritual advisor to Donald Trump. And if you remember, after the 2020 election, when the results came in, she went up to her church, which is called City of Destiny, and prophesied that God was sending angels from Africa to declare victory over Donald Trump. We think the angels got lost somewhere over Albuquerque. We're not exactly sure where they went. But she is really well known, very infamous, and extremely popular. And her failed Trump prophecy hasn't caused her following to decrease at all. She's still as popular and strong as ever.
You said charismatic light. That's pretty broad. Where would you put Paula White theologically? What is her camp, so to speak?
So Paula White, let's just say, was brought onto the church scene by T.D. Jakes. So her foundation is in deep Pentecostalism, and I would even argue, based on previous statements that she's made, she may in fact be a closet oneness Pentecostal. At one point, she made a video years ago, and we covered it in like an early installment of Fighting for the Faith, the first year that we were out, where she openly denied that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. And so she is a tongue-speaking, prophecy-receiving, TBN charismatic with the credentials of T.D. Jakes is really the one responsible for making her popular. And he gave a lot of attention to her when she first came out and doing her public preaching and teaching.
Is she a pastor?
No, there's no such thing as a female pastor. That doesn't exist, just the same way unicorns don't exist. So there are people who may arrogate to themselves the title of pastor who are not qualified to be a pastor. But God the Holy Spirit only calls men to the pastoral office. Although she claims to be a pastor, she is not.
So you mentioned her church. What's it called again?
City of Destiny.
What is that concept of destiny? You don't name a church something like that by accident.
Yeah, so the main narrative in Christianity has completely changed. And really, I'd say the changes began way back. But, you know, I would say, you know, one of the major moves was with the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, with Rick Warren. But the main narrative now is that God has a huge plan or a destiny for your life. And so learning how to hear the voice of God so that he can communicate the, quote, vision that he has for your life. The idea then is that you've got to protect the vision. You've got to keep Satan from snatching the vision. And the devil's going to do everything he can to make the vision not come to pass because he doesn't want you to fulfill your destiny. It's this weird theodicy that has you at the center. And the weird part is in this theodicy, you play the role of the hero. You play the role of the anointed one. You play the role of the one that the devil is really going after to bring to a stop, and not Jesus. And so you almost play a deified role in this theology that has become like the main narrative for the explanation for what the Christian faith is within these camps.
What are we going to hear first from White?
So I'm going to say this right off the bat, is that out of the chute, she's going to say things that are crazy. This is, we are starting at moment one in the sermon that she delivered in early March of this year. And we're going to hear her talking about how she's pregnant with a vision and how faith is about living the crazy life of some sort or another. But best if we kind of let her lay the track and note the crazy stuff begins immediately.
Are you ready for the word? Say, bring it on, bring it on. All right, look at somebody, say, you look pregnant. Oh, come on, guys, you're getting ready. Your water's going to break in this next month. You look pregnant right now. So you're looking large or expanding. We've been actually preaching the sermon all morning long because I'm going to start a series, as I said, on vision. Vision and faith. Because when Pastor Todd came to me and I said, what are we going to do? And we both, you know, felt 1 million. You know, you'd think, well, was that a hard chew for you? Not at all. Not at all. Why? If this week it might be 10 million. Why? Because before I've ever seen anything in the natural, saw sanctuary packed or food came in, I've already been carrying it in my spirit. So what's in your spirit, whatever you wake up thinking of every day, whatever is driving your thoughts and your feelings, whatever is housed in your spirit will manifest in your life. And some of you have been carrying some things for a long time, and I really want to teach you on the power of vision. And before I take you into the in-depth of how do you build vision, how do you receive vision, the Lord really dealt with me that first thing you have to do is learn how to come up higher. So I believe that today is going to be a day of relocation for some people. That you're going to leave some of your familiar ground. You're going to get out of that boat and walk on water. And let me just forewarn all the water walkers. When you get out of the boat and you start walking, remember, keep your eyes on Jesus. Because the minute you look down or around, that's when it gets scary. But as long as you keep your eyes on Jesus, you'll be able to keep walking. Now, your flesh is going to feel funny because it's never walked on water. You're used to something that's holding you up, and all of a sudden, you know, nobody said, take your leg, lift it up 6 inches, take the right leg first, put so much weight, distribute it this way, and you'll be okay. You have no idea how to do the crazy. That's what faith is, the crazy.
Okay, there's a lot there, Chris. Take us through it and kind of, if you would, interpret that for us.
So I think a good place to start would be to focus on what she was actually doing. and then we'll talk about some of the things she said. So you'll note that when you attend a confessional Lutheran church, there are assigned readings. We follow a lectionary. So right now I'm preaching through the historic one-year lectionary, loving it. It's absolutely spectacular. But the idea then is that as part of the church service, we read out an Old Testament text, we read out an epistle text, and there is an assigned gospel text. And the pastor can choose to preach on one of those texts or to kind of weave them all together. Sometimes thematically that works out the case. But you're going to note before the pastor even begins his sermon, what has happened is that the Bible has been read, a large section of Scripture, generally three chapters. And that being the case, we are then tasked with the job of kind of exegeting, properly reading out what is in those texts so that people who are hearing may understand what it is that God intends for us to know. What is he communicating in those texts? Paula White here, she has not begun with a biblical text. Instead, she has begun with what I would consider to be her own theology that she is starting out with. She's talked about having a uterus, having a spiritual vision housed inside of your spirit, the need to come up higher. Those of you who are water walkers, you're going to have to get comfortable walking on water because your flesh isn't going to be comfortable with it. And she isn't actually reading a biblical text, nor is she exegeting it. What she's doing is, you know, atomizing them, kind of sloganizing those references that she was touching on that to make it appear like it's biblical. And what she's then doing is eisegeting into the biblical text this theology that she started off with. And so as we listen to these different parts of her sermon, it's important to note that at no point is she rightly handling a biblical text, and the theology that she has begun the sermon with, it's never, and I mean never, actually taught in the Bible. This is a theology that's construction is completely out of the imagination of human minds and hearts, but it's not revealed anywhere or even hinted at anywhere in the Bible.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. We're talking about televangelist Paula White's teaching on being pregnant with vision. We'll discuss that phrase she used, come up higher, next. Issues Etc. guests are frequent contributors to the Lutheran Witness magazine. The Lutheran Witness is a must-have resource for every Issues Etc. listener. You can receive an annual print and digital subscription for less than $20. Learn more at cph.org/witness or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Interpreting the world from a Lutheran perspective, the Lutheran Witness magazine, cph.org/witness or 1-800-325-3040.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The Evangelical Lutheran Church holds that it is God who raises up men to serve His holy bride through His office of the holy ministry. At Concordia University Chicago, we prepare men to take the first step on the path by which God leads them to His pastoral office. Are you ready to take the step? I'm Dr. James Ambrose Lee, Chair of the Division of Theology at Concordia University Chicago. Learn more about the pre-seminary program at CUC by visiting cuchicago.edu, cuchicago.edu.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Here is a little bit from the latest Lutheran Witness magazine on the Ascension. In his first act of his rule, Jesus sent his Spirit on Pentecost so that the apostles and pastors could be sent to preach his name to all nations, bringing to all people the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life won at the cross. That's from Pastor Christopher Seiferlein, writing about the Ascension in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine. You can have the Lutheran Witness magazine in both digital and print forms for less than $20 a year. Find out more by going to cph.org/witness or calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. It's This Week in Pop Christianity today. Televangelist Paula White teaching on being pregnant with vision. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. Chris, that phrase that you highlighted there, come up higher, I hear that a lot, and it seems just intentionally vague. What does it mean?
Yes. So when people like Paula White, she's not the only one who does this. So you'll note she started off by talking about, you say to your neighbor, you know, you're looking large. Looks like your water's going to break. You have a uterus and you've got a vision that you're about ready to give birth to. You listen to something like that and you ask I like asking a question to the effect of, what is the cash value of a statement like that? And the reality is that there is no cash value to it, because she's not saying anything while at the same time making it appear like she's saying something. So when she says, the Lord has worked with me and told me the importance that y'all might have to come up higher, in their parlance, that could mean a lot of things. It could mean I need to be more intentional in my Bible study. I need to be more spiritual. I need to put away a particular sin. Come up higher has to do with intentionality and your zealousness for the things of God and stuff like that. So maybe you need to pray more or whatever. But it's just vague enough that it could mean just about anything. It could be stretched or bended to fit whatever you think is lacking in your life that God is displeased with, and come up higher is a call to kind of put those things away, whatever those things are. But you'll note that she's attaching promises as it relates to learning vision, learning the importance of vision, building a large vision for your life. She's basically creating that as a requirement for receiving more when it comes to vision. You have to come up higher. So no, it's she's spoken about it in a way that's like a quid pro quo. You do this, you come up higher, then God's going to give you a deeper vision or a stronger vision or things like this.
But it's also built in deniability. So if it doesn't work for you, well, you didn't come up higher. I'm going to tell you that this is going to happen for you. And when it doesn't, I've already built in my excuse for how I was wrong, because yep, you didn't come up higher the way I told you to.
And that's how it gets used. So you'll note when somebody makes promises for God that God has not made, or makes requirements of you that God has not made, and then attaches rewards in the here and the now if you do these things. So if you sow $1,000 seed offering into Paula White's ministry, God's going to multiply it, and he's going to help you to overcome your current financial lack in your life or something like this. So when she talks in these vague types of terms, when the promise doesn't come to pass, because God is not required to basically to make good on promises that he never made. So what she's guilty of doing is breaking the second commandment. Second commandment, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, that we should fear and love God so we do not curse, swear, use satanic arts, lie or deceive by his name, but call upon it in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. But what she's doing is lying and deceiving by God's name. And you're right, when it eventually doesn't come to pass, you don't get the vision doesn't happen, and you realize that this is all smoke and mirrors, rhetorically, and you come to her and you say, you promised me that God was going to give me a big vision and that it was going to come about, and I came up higher like you said. She could legitimately turn around, and this is what televangelists and people like her do, and she can say, well, God told you to come up higher. You just didn't come up high enough. You didn't meet the requirement, and of course, the question is, well, what does it mean to come up higher? How high do I have to go? You know, that's never specified. Language like this is, like you said, intentionally vague, and it creates that deniability. But worse than that, it creates the ability to throw it back on the person who then says, you promised me these things. She can say, well, God told you you needed to come up higher. You just didn't come up high enough. So it gives them the ability to not only deny things, but shift the blame back on the person when the promise that they were promised doesn't come to pass.
What's next?
Okay. So now we're going to hear her definition of what a vision is and the supposed function that it plays within a Christian's life.
You have no idea how to adjust to this new life in this place that God wants you. And you know what the enemy wants you to always do? Retreat. You see, the Bible talks about two different types of people in the book of Hebrews. And the reason that they provoked God in the wilderness is because they did what? They drew back. There are those that draw nigh to God like Esther did. When the scepter was held out and she touched the chief, the top point, she touched the authority and the anointing of God. And there are those that draw back. Every day of our life, we're going to have these opportunities. And it's easy to move forward if you're carrying a vision. Because all it is the manifestation of what you've already seen in your spirit. And now let me teach you just a little bit, because it's not, of course, Dr. John could teach this better than me. I don't know the brain as well as a neurosurgeon. But they tell me there's this part of the brain located right behind the ear that houses spiritualism, trans whatever it is. But it's also a part of the imagination. And so when you get something in your spirit, I believe it comes into your mind. And you are carrying something in your imagination that is more real than anything that you can see. This is where we get the power of vision from our spirit. Y'all ready to come up higher? You ready to come up higher? Come on, the just shall live by faith. If you can see the invisible, what can you do? The impossible. The only way to do the impossible is see the invisible.
Okay, Chris, there are a couple things in there you're going to need to explain. When she says you see something in your spirit, what is she talking about?
I have no idea. We're in the land of imagination, and that's the best way. But this isn't theology. This isn't biblical doctrine. This is a theology she invented, and she is a purveyor of it. And so when she says you need to see something in your spirit, people sit there and go, oh, wow, that's deep, that's profound. And my immediate question is, and how does one go about doing something like that? Again, this is her basically taking the human ability given to us by God to envision things within our minds, to use imagination, to problem solve, to, you know, take a look at a particular situation, to work out in our minds the steps necessary to work out of that situation, and to see the end goal. At least in our minds, we can kind of hold it there. And she is using the human imagination then as and spiritualizing it in a way that is not taught by God in Scripture, to then say that this is the thing that God, this is the power of a vision. And if you can see the invisible, then you can do the impossible. And again, this makes it sound like, you know, the job of Christianity, or the cash value of Christianity is in problem solving, or making, you know, things better, or, you know, planning for the future, or things like this. And it's just really, really deceitful of her to be talking in terms like this. Again, not only does the Bible not teach any of this, but she's hijacking kind of human experiences, spiritualizing them, making them vague enough that people think they know what she's talking about, to turn this into like the central chase, if you would, the central pursuit of the Christian life is getting a vision, knowing its power, seeing the invisible so that we can then conquer and do the impossible. But that's not what we're called to do.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. We're listening to some of Paula White's teaching on being pregnant with vision. She's used the word faith several times. What's her definition?
week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we finish up Amos with Day of Bitter Wailing, Famine of Hearing, Destruction of Israel, the Sinful Kingdom, and Pure Gospel. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
This fallen creation is bested by tornado, hurricane, flood, pandemic, and more. LCMS Disaster Response helps our congregations, their pastors, and other church workers to reach out to their members and neighbors with mercy which flows from Christ's altar. We offer quality volunteer training, help for congregational readiness and response, and disaster grant funding. To learn more, visit lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
The Lord has gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. These gifts can be received every week at both Grace Lutheran Church and Trinity Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas. Join us for divine services at Grace on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m., as well as every Wednesday at 11 a.m., or at Trinity every Sunday at 11 a.m. Grace is located at 3310 East Pawnee and Trinity at 611 South Erie. Gather with us around our Lord and His giving His gifts to us. See you soon.
We desire for all Christian children, including those with learning or behavior challenges, to receive a strong education in the faith. At simplyclassical.com, you will find reading, penmanship, and copybook exercises based on the truth, wisdom, and comfort of God's Word. We include Aesop's Fables and classic children's literature, math, and science, all from Memoria Press. Use promo code LPR22 at simplyclassical.com.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by His death and resurrection to be shared with people, by the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the Word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom. God uses people, He uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's This Week in Pop Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith. We're talking about televangelist Paula White's vision of being, her teaching of being pregnant with vision. Chris, she has used the word faith several times. I think she started out saying that faith is the crazy, whatever that means, and then she misapplied the just shall live by faith. What is her definition of that word?
So the best way I can describe it, and this is a common theme within charismatic and Pentecostal circles, is that they take the term faith and they turn it into, rather than it being trust, because at its core, I mean, that's what faith is. It's trust. It's trust in Christ, specifically for the promises that He's promised, the forgiveness of our sins, new life in Him, the promised of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit to sanctifying us, and the hope that we have in the world to come, in the resurrection and the new earth. But they take the concept of trust and they evacuate it, and instead it replace it with a concept of risk-taking or doing something that seems so absurd that it would be considered crazy or self-deprecating on the part of an unbeliever or somebody who is not part of the Pentecostal movement. So let me give you an example. In the charismatic movement, they talk a lot about the importance of yielding to God the Holy Spirit regardless of what God the Holy Spirit, quote, wants to do. So if God the Holy Spirit wants you to fall on the ground and convulse uncontrollably, okay, that might look crazy, and that takes a lot of vulnerability, and it's considered a form of risk taking on their part. But God, it can only use yielded persons. You know, they like to say that the fire of God cannot fall on an empty altar. So you have to lay your ego, you have to lay your reputation, your perception of yourself. You have to lay that on the altar so that then you can experience the crazy. And so then this plays out in the vision doctrine in this way, that you're going to be given a vision from God, and you're going to see the invisible thing that God really wants to do in your life, this destiny that he has for you. And when he gives you that, everybody else around you is more than likely going to say, that's ridiculous. That's just crazy. That's nuts. You don't have what it takes to be able to do something like that. You should seek a more safer life for yourself, a path that's more normal. But you're right. It hinges on their redefinition of faith to be more along the lines of risk taking, and then her misuse. The righteous will live by faith. Man, talk about a misquote there, because that shows up a couple of times in Scripture. Once in the Old Testament, and then in the Pauline epistles, talking about salvation by grace through faith apart from works. She takes it out of context and makes it into the righteous will live by risk taking, by being crazy. But that's not at all what either the prophet of the Old Testament meant, and I think it was Hosea, or what Paul went when he quotes him in the book of Romans. So, I mean, really, really sneaky, duplicitous twisting of God's word. So not only is she eisegeting, now she's taking verses out of context. And by doing so, she can get rid of their proper understanding and the way they were meant to be understood by the Holy Spirit, so she can pour into those phrases her own theology and her own doctrine.
Real quick, before we go on to the next one, you had mentioned her use of the word imagination. Has she replaced the word of God, that is Scripture, with one's own imagination?
Yes, although she would deny it. She would argue that what she's doing is biblical. What she's teaching is what the Bible teaches. Problem is that no biblical text teaches this. And this is another way to kind of test this out. No Christian has ever been martyred for believing these things. One of the cash values, if you would, coming back to that phrase, of Christian doctrine, historically, the faith once delivered to the saints, is that men and women have been martyred for their confession of faith in Christ. Nobody has been martyred or would even want to be martyred for the doctrines she teaches because, number one, they're new on the scene. This is something that is a very recent innovation within the charismatic and evangelical movements. And nobody's been martyred for believing that God's going to give them a destiny or a vision or anything like this. These are doctrines of demons. These are human innovations designed to distract us and to make it so that we are busy doing something in the name of Jesus without actually listening to Jesus. So God's word doesn't make any kind of substantive appearance in any of Paula White's sermons. She only misquotes Scripture, like little verse here, a part of a sentence there, but she takes them and then weaves them up into a theology that she's created and that she's concocted that is heavily reliant on her own experiences.
What should we be listening for in this third cut from Paula White?
All right, in this one, pay close attention to Proverbs 28 and how she uses it and her zooming in on a particular word, the word vision. The Hebrew word is chazon, but she's going to kind of like give us a bunch of verbal diarrhea rather than a biblical definition of what it means in context.
I feel good. I feel victory in the house. You see, when I walked up, I'd never seen that property. It's like God just held it for me. When I walked on it, I felt his peace, but I saw what I'd already seen. And it was just, do it. How? I don't ask those questions. I just know God's got to back me. God has to back me, Teresa, because I know if he's put it in me, he's not done it to frustrate me. You go, well, when's the program going to start? I don't know. Where are you going to get the money? I don't know. How are you going to advertise it? I never think about things like that. That's for the rest of you guys to do. I just, God, let's go. How many of you love Braveheart? Come on. Let's do this in Jesus' name. Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Vision in the Hebrew there is a sight. Mentally, it is a dream. It means revelation. Where there's no revelation, the people perish. They cast off restraints. They remove boundaries. It means an oracle. It's from the root word to gaze at. Mentally, to perceive, to contemplate. Specifically, it means to have a vision of. Now, these words are important. I'm not just throwing out words, because we're going to see how we build this and how we begin to become a people of vision. It means to behold. That's an important word. Behold. To look, to prophesy, to provide, to see. So vision in Webster means the act or power of seeing something supposedly seen in a dream, a mental image. The ability to foresee or perceive something not actually visible, as through mental acuteness. You know, one of the things that I do every single Sunday, I sit there with my eyes closed, I'm praying, and I start seeing people walking into the city of destiny. I see people with the joy of the Lord. I see them worshiping. I see the Holy Spirit moving. I put myself in the situation hours before we're ever here. And it's already in my spirit. And I never expect anything except for what I'm already seeing.
Okay, let's start with the big thing there. How did she misuse both the word and the words of that proverb?
Okay, so Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. And so I'm quoting this from the ESV because I think the ESV is getting at the heart of what's going on with the Hebrew word chazon. Chazon is one of its meanings is a prophetic vision. But you're going to note here, words mean things in the context in which they appear. And so what she did is she took the word chazon. She didn't even mention it. I don't even think she knows Hebrew. And she just gave us a list of its potential definitions, as if somehow that answers the question what that word means in this particular context. But the proverb itself is actually encapsulated. It contains a complete thought in the one sentence that it is. And so here's what it says. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps. And I'm going to use a word that is a little bit more broad in the Hebrew than the translation word that we get in the ESV, which is law. Blessed is he who keeps the Torah. Torah itself doesn't necessarily refer to the law, but Torah can mean teaching. And so Torah itself, as a Hebrew word, in this context, is a reference to the Bible, to the scriptures. And so what Proverbs 29:18 is getting at is this idea that where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. We're talking about where the Bible is not read, where God's word is not heard. People cast off restraint. We've seen this playing out in our own lives as we've watched our own nation, the United States, slip into further and further deep, deep rebellion and immorality, open sexual immorality and the embracing and just weird, perverse things. All of this as God's word has gotten harder and harder to hear as the church has become smaller and smaller as a percentage of the population in our country. But then note then, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But then the author of Proverbs here, Solomon, says, but blessed is he who keeps and guards the teaching, keeps and guards the teaching of God. So the prophetic vision that we need in this verse is the Bible itself. And then what she did, when she gave us all of these different potential definitions, this is a smokescreen, and there's an actual term for this technique. The name of it is called illegitimate totality transfer. What she did by giving us all the potential definitions of the word chazon, she makes it appear like all the definitions can somehow be crammed into this one instance where the word shows up. That's not how language works. I always point out to people that if you were go to the your Webster's dictionary and look for the definition of the word up, you are going to be given many, 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 many definitions. So it depends on how the word is used. If you say, I went up the escalator, then the definition of up is going to be along the lines of to ascend. ascend or to go higher. If you were to say, I threw up, then up is going to be talking about, you know, the act of expelling something from your body. And the definitions are completely different, but how the word is used in context is going to determine the definition that is proper to use in this case. And so, again, the ESV does a great job because they recognize that because the way this text is laid out, chazon here is to be understood as a prophetic vision, and the solution to the lack of prophetic vision is the actual Bible itself. And that's not what she's telling us about. She's instead blurring that very clear passage to make it look like here Proverbs 29:18 is teaching us we need to get a unique individual prophetic vision within our spiritual uteruses. But that's not what this text is teaching at all.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. We're talking about televangelist Paula White's teaching on being pregnant with vision. She said something earlier that she doesn't worry about how things will get done. That's for the rest of you to worry about. We'll come back to that after the break. You can meet and hear Bill Barr, Albert Moeller, Pavi Rossinen, Chris Roseborough, Brian Wolfmiller, Joel Bierman, and Will Whedon at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 24th and Saturday, June 25th in Chicago. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 24th and 25th at Concordia University, Chicago.
Have you ever wondered why Jesus ascended into the heavens? Why does he leave his disciples behind? Why not stay here on earth and rule and govern his church here on earth? Well, if you've ever wondered this question, you need to pick up your copy of the May issue of the Lutheran Witness, where we talk about the Ascension, how to recover Ascension Day services in your own congregation, Ascension Day hymnody, and so much more. To order your copy, visit cph.org/witness or visit our website, witness.lcms.org, to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Lugia Journal. The Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Do you long for a church that celebrates the divine service with reverence and joy, but without the unbiblical baggage imposed by a supposedly infallible hierarchy? Do you long for a church that confesses a divinely instituted office of the holy ministry for the giving of the Lord's gifts to his people, and yet values and lifts high the priesthood of all believers? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We're what you've been looking for. Find an historic, authentic church near you on the Find a Church page at issuesetc.org.
It's our feature this week in Pop Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough. We're talking about a televangelist Paula White's teaching on being pregnant with vision. Chris, there's something she said there that I find intriguing. She, and it may have been a joke, she said that she never worries about how to pay for anything or how any of her visions are going to come to pass in a practical sense. And then she said, that's for the rest of you to worry about. Now, it's true of Paula White that she probably doesn't have to worry about any of those things. She has a team of personal assistants and people that work for her that make all her visions come true. But her average listener doesn't have an army of personal assistants making sure everything works out just the way you wish it would.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. But if you go back and re-listen to the soundbite, you'll note that she makes it sound like God himself is part of her personal entourage, because the vision that she has, God has her back, and it's God's job to make it come to pass. What's fascinating is that Ezekiel chapter 13, Ezekiel prophesies against the false prophets of his time, and he says something that directly contradicts that idea that Paula White says. Let me read a portion of that prophecy. In Ezekiel 13, here's what it says. The word of Yahweh came to me. Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who are prophesying, and say to those who prophesy from their own hearts, hear the word of Yahweh. Thus says Yahweh Elohim, woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Your prophets have been like jackals among ruins, O Israel. You have not gone up into the breaches or built up a wall for the house of Israel that it might stand in battle in the day of Yahweh. They have seen false visions and lying divinations. They say, declares the Lord, when the Lord has not sent them, and yet they expect him to fulfill their word. That's exactly what Paula White's attitude is. She's got this vision in her heart, and she just expects God to fulfill her words. It's unbelievable. God is now part of Paula White's entourage to make things happen.
And we have one final bit of wisdom from Paula White. What should we listen for?
I wouldn't call it wisdom, but now she's going to switch gears altogether, and she's going to talk about her own life experiences, which are then held up as proof that this theology that she didn't get from the Bible is actually true.
I see it every week, all the time. I see you in your destined state. So sometimes when someone comes to me and they're looking like a black coal, I see them as a polished diamond. I've already got the setting out for them. And they're going, but here's my story and whoa. And I'm going, but here's what God's saying. Because I genuinely, honestly see that. You see, here's what we could say vision is. And I think it's something important for you to write down. Vision is a mental picture of my future that is absolutely forceful enough to mold my present. It's a mental picture of my future that is absolutely forceful enough to mold my present. And when you get a vision, you start acting out of that vision instead of your situation or circumstance. Think about this. Remember, I'm living in a trailer on Bill Moxley Road in Mount Airy, Maryland. I'm 19 years old, a girl that got pregnant out of wedlock that had just gotten saved. And I have this divine encounter with God. And here I am. They call me trailer trash. But yet God takes me in a trance. I can literally see my body lying there, and he puts me on every continent except for the Antarctica. And every time I open my mouth, people get saved and healed and delivered. And I see the move of the Holy Spirit. And when I shut my mouth, they fall into utter darkness. Do you know that moment has driven the last 38 years of my life? That every time I open my mouth, I expect a manifestation of God. I believe it. I know it. And I have too much evidence backing it now.
Okay, so she lapses into what is kind of standard fare for a lot of these preachers, their own story. They become, it's amazing how quickly the entire sermon turned out to be about her and
yep.
how she does things and she does this and she does that. And then back to her, this was how my humble origins and look at me now.
Yeah, I would note that this part of the sermon for me was really the most jaw-dropping, because she's describing herself in almost messianic terms. She is able to see people in their destined state. And you'll note, you know, she claims that she herself, you know, she expects these things all to happen because she sees the future. She sees all of this. She's almost, it sounds like a female Messiah. But then her definition of a vision is a mental picture of my future powerful enough to mold my present. And I would note here, this is where it gets really sneaky. For all the talk of their belief in God, the Holy Spirit, you see, it is God, the Holy Spirit, who sanctifies us. And here she is claiming that whatever sanctifying work or molding work that occurs within the life of a Christian that follows her theology, it's by the power of the vision rather than the work of God, the Holy Spirit. And I think that's an important distinction, because when we look at Scripture and the work of the Holy Spirit, Christ sends the Holy Spirit to convict the world of sin and unbelief. And the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the strength to mortify our sinful flesh. Paul admonishes this in Romans 8, that by the power of the Spirit, we are to mortify our sinful flesh. And so you'll note And that even in the Augsburg Confession, Melanchthon's beautiful treatise on the doctrine of justification by grace through faith alone, he points out that it's among the Lutherans that the Lutherans are the ones who not only believe in the Holy Spirit and the importance of good works, they teach that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that's how we then are sanctified. And so she's not talking about repentance. She's not talking about mortifying our sinful flesh. She's not talking about taking off the old man and putting on the new. She's saying that the vision that God is supposed to give you in your spiritual uterus is going to be so powerful that it will mold your present to conform with what your future is. But no talk whatsoever of the actual work of God, the Holy Spirit. So this is a false doctrine as it relates to, how should I put it, what the role of a Christian is and having our minds conformed by the Holy Spirit to the mind of Christ in exchange for something that is very self-serving. And is it any wonder then that in her description of herself and her current prophetic powers, she describes herself in very near messianic terms?
If she has this ability, as she claims, to look at someone and see God's vision for them, why is she, coming back to kind of a recurring theme, why is she so vague about it? Why doesn't she say, okay, you there in the third row, this is what I see God's vision for you, and tell people what God is revealing to her? She seems like she's kind of holding back a little bit, banking words.
Yeah, that's because she can't really see people's destiny. She's just claiming that she is. Her conscience is seared, and she is a liar. And the fact that she doesn't actually demonstrate her power by giving specific and very detailed vision, you know, descriptions of what, you know, God's vision is for people's life, the reason why she doesn't do it is because she can't. And this is all part of the smoke in the mirrors. The one thing I can tell you as somebody who's watched Paula White very carefully for more than a decade, you know, going on a decade and a half now, is that this woman is all about the money. She is greedy, and she exploits people, and she says false words for the purpose of lining her pockets so that she can live very well, travel the world as she wants to, and do the things that she wants to do with a large bank account. That's the reason why she doesn't demonstrate her power, because she doesn't actually have it.
Is that why we heard some sidelong references in there to property and to $1 million or $10 million? Is she effectively just trying to squeeze some money out of her people for something she wants to do?
Always. That's a standard part of every one of her church services. It is a standard function. It's always about the money. And she had made reference to the fact that she had just recently, in the past month and a half prior to when this sermon was preached, pushed hard into the people who attended her, quote, church for the purpose of raising $1 million. And they pulled it off. And she said, if I had said 10 million, you still would have been able to do it. It wouldn't have been a stretch for you, because she continues to get as much marrow out of that bone as she can. And she's constantly sucking it dry.
How concerned are you that this woman was for a time a very close advisor to a president of the United States?
Terribly concerned. And here's the reason why, is that the world we presently live in the political scene that we're in the midst of right now, lies have got the upper hand. We are being told by people on the left that as Christians, we cannot say the truth. And if we dare to say the truth, we will be punished, we will be censored, or we're having our livelihoods threatened because we refuse to say things like Bruce Jenner is a woman, or that lady who is the in charge of, you know, Health and Human Services, that's actually a guy. That's not a woman. That's a man. And so we speak the truth. And what's happening is that, and this is where my big concern is that there is much lies. There are many lies that are being told and embraced on the right, not merely on the left. And when the president's spiritual advisor is a flat out deceiving TBN televangelist, false prophetess, and a woman who cannot rightly handle the word of truth at all, and instead she fluently speaks the language of the devil, which is lies, then we've got a problem, because now my question is, what does it mean to be a conservative if we're not conserving truth? And so the fact that this woman was the top spiritual advisor, she was the one on the podium giving the prayer at the inauguration of Trump, this doesn't bode well for us. It's time for people who call themselves Christians and people who call themselves conservatives to not put up with lies of any kind, whether they come from the churches or whether they come from the left. Otherwise, we're doomed, because we've got to anchor ourselves in truth, because Jesus is the truth. And Paula White, she is a purveyor of nothing but lies.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He's creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. Find out more about Fighting for the Faith at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Chris, thanks.
Thank you, Todd.
Issues Etc. has been brought to you in part this week by Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas. Faith Lutheran is fully accredited and provides classical Lutheran education for students in preschool to grade 12. Live online interactive classes are available for high school students worldwide. Find out more about enrolling for the 2022-23 school year at flsplano.org. Faith Lutheran School, Plano, Texas, flsplano.org. Next week on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series on the historic liturgy, talking with pastors Will Whedon and Sean Denzer about the offertory. We'll hear from Ross Douthat on why the public square needs Christianity, and Pastor Matt Harrison will lead us in a teaching on being joyfully Lutheran. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muskuta, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muskuta, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuskuta.com.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.